We welcome you to Chat with a Cat. It's right here on KPAY Sports 1290, and it's brought to you by Carl's Jr. with two Chico locations, the corner of East Avenue and the Esplanade, and on 20th Street next to the Chico Marketplace. Joining us on this edition of Chat with a Cat is Chico State women's basketball coach Brian Fogle. The Wildcats are supposed to be beginning of their season, and now there will be no season, as we heard last week, as the university presidents have said that the season should not go on because of the coronavirus pandemic. Coach Fogle, thank you for joining us, and it's great talking to you. Kind of, I wish it was doing a pregame interview before a game.
Yeah, it's great to hear your voice. Definitely miss seeing you, and but you know, if you can't see one another, this is the next best thing, and really looking forward to catching up with you.
When the news came down last week, the first thing that I was thinking of was, did you see the writing on the wall that this was probably a possibility? One, how are you guys handling it? How are your players handling it?
Yeah, to answer your first part of the question, I've been in athletics for an awful long time, and I would say I was really, really hopeful in the summertime that we would have some type of a season. You know, maybe not start right on time, but play some type of games. And then as summer then creeped into fall, I pretty much knew we weren't going to be able to play. And so very disappointed, obviously. Our kids are a very resilient bunch. I feel so bad for the seniors. I feel so bad for, I feel bad for everybody involved in this whole thing, but for the freshmen as well, because yet here they're supposed to come and be a part of a college environment, and there is absolutely no atmosphere here on campus. And for the most part, the majority of my team is basically staying at home. They're not here. We do have six or seven kids here, I would say. So I guess we have about half of our kids here. They are, I'll say this about the Chico State women's basketball team. I am very proud of how they have handled this situation. They are very resilient. They are very positive. Nobody's ever been through anything like this. And so that's what's really, really frustrating, because as somebody that is in a leadership responsibility, you always want to be able to provide the people that you are leading with answers. And so the answers that you get are constantly changing from day to day to week to week and whatnot. And so that's a really hard thing to be able to swallow as a student athlete, because these kids have worked so hard for the opportunity to be able to play. And then who I really, really feel bad for are our spring sports, because our spring sports, just heard the news the other day and whatnot that, you know, it doesn't look like they're going to play in the spring as well. That's 2 years. That's 2 years of not being able to play. The Chico State Athletic Department is held strong. We got great leadership from Anita Barker, and all the coaches are doing a great job in engaging their students. And one day we will be able to bounce back, and when we come back, we'll be bigger and better than ever.
When you look at the players that, I mean, you had seniors who are getting ready for their senior season. Is there any indications that they're going to stick around, or do we even know that? Is it still too early to maybe, you know, go a little bit more schooling and try to stay for that final year? And I know the NCAA is doing a lot of things to make sure that eligibility stays for these student athletes. How's that working?
I think it's kind of going to depend on an individual case, to be honest with you. Like, you take a kid like Vanessa Holland. Vanessa Holland is probably not going to come back, in the sense that she's a nursing major, and she needs to get gone. She needs to get those hours and get moving on with her life. I think Hannah Washington has maybe one or two classes that she only needs to take, and so I think she'll probably move on. The other ones, you know, Shay and Brynn, we'll see what's going to happen. There's no pressure one way or the other, you know, to try to make them come back or to tell them that they need to be able to move on. So I just want to be there to support them. I think the answers that you get today might be different than what you would get a month from now, and maybe even 2 months from now. But it's just like anything else, and being able to handle this thing. We take it one day at a time, and we'll handle the situation however it plays out.
When you look at your recruits, you already have a recruiting class for this year. You've already started landing recruits for next year. I'm sure you've been in communication with them. It must be crushing to them. First of all, they've got a school that wants them to play high-level basketball, and then it's, oh, by the way, we're not playing this year, so you're in school, but you're not able to play. So I would imagine that's got to be tough on the youngsters.
It is. It's real hard. And right now, the kids, we signed two kids, feel really comfortable with that. We got Tony Coleman from South Medford up there in Oregon. She's an extremely fast point guard that is going to be able to defend anybody, anywhere, at any time. I'm really, really excited about her. And then we signed another kid out of Folsom, Charity Galagos, and she's a really good shooter. Right now, they're holding on to the hope that they may have a season, and I hope that they do in some fashion, one way or another, but I don't know if that's going to come to fruition either. I think that it's tough on everybody right now. You know, this is the whole thing. If you're really about this thing, and when I mean being about it, if you're really dedicated to your sport, you're doing all the things that are necessary for you to stay on pace. It's just that it has to come from within, and there aren't people pushing and shoving you and telling you what you need to do on a daily basis. So the true ballers are gonna play out in all of this.
They always do. They always go to the forefront. We're talking with Brian Fogle, head coach, Chico State women's basketball program. Last week announced that the 2020-2021 basketball season has been canceled by university presidents because of the coronavirus pandemic. Brian Fogle's been synonymous with basketball, you know, whether it was the old NCAC or the CCAA, for a long time, playing career. And I'll never forget, I talked with Puck Smith about you when you, when you were coaching at UC Davis, and he said, you know, that Brian Fogle, he was a junkyard dog. That guy, he just got after it. Now, I mean, you want to talk about a competitor. That guy would get into you. He competed. You played at Sonoma State, assisted at Cal, assistant coach at San Francisco State, head coach at Skyline, and then you took over at, you were assistant at UC Davis, and then the head coach from 1998 to 2003, and then, of course, assisted here and have been the head coach here for more than a decade. Talk about your early go-around in the coaching ranks and what made this such an appealing profession.
Well, I guess it's pretty simple. Those of us that can play, play, and those that can't, coach. So that's how it was explained to me when I was growing up early. I always knew that I wanted to be involved in athletics in one way or another. I just absolutely loved sports. Whether it was the fall, I would be throwing a football. I would be shooting a basketball in the winter and throwing a baseball in the spring. I just fell in love with basketball. I think I was in about junior high at that particular time and just played it nonstop. Had two great supportive parents that were absolutely awesome. They got me to my games on time. They never asked me. They never pushed. They didn't watch every single game. It was my journey, but they were always in my corner, and I'm so grateful for that. I just knew that the relationships that I was encountering along the way was something that I wanted to be involved with. And so I was fortunate enough to be able to play at Sonoma State. I wanted to be able to give back, because when I was young, it used to be you used to go to the gym and you had to wait. And sometimes you would have to wait an hour and a half just to get on a court to be able to play. And if you lost, you were done. And then you'd have to wait another 35, 40 minutes. And so I literally would go to the gym all day long. And so, but when I was in that gym and I was shooting on the side and I was working out and doing whatever, there was always older guys that either had played in high school or played in college or wherever. They had these wealth of knowledge through their experiences, and they always took time and showed me how to do little things. One guy in particular who took a liking to me, he went to my high school. He graduated in about 3 or 4 years ahead of me. He went on. He played at Duke. His name was Chip England, and today he's an assistant coach with the San Antonio Spurs. But we would shoot in the gym nonstop all day long. And Steve Kerr, I was fortunate. I grew up with him as well, and he would shoot. And we would just shoot and shoot and shoot and play and have all these competitions against one another. But there would be other people that would come by, and they would tell you about a rocker step. They would tell you about positioning yourself and getting to the basket. And so I always knew that I wanted to be able to give back to the game in some capacity. And for the best way for me to be able to do that was to be able to get into coaching. And so now I look at it, and I really, really enjoy being working with the young kids. They have such a great attitude and are so positive and want to do better. And so I'm really, really grateful for that.
We're talking with Brian Fogle, head coach, Chico State women's basketball team. We are going to take a quick break. We'll continue our chat with Brian. He wants to get in to, I mean, this is probably not going to make people happy, but he wants to talk about the Dodgers winning the World Series because he knows that we'd be giving a fist bump over that. And we'll talk about one of the biggest parking scams ever. He lived near the Riviera Country Club, and he describes you had a parking job with a buddy, and you called it a scam. I can't wait to hear about this. We're talking with Brian Fogle.
Yeah, scam's a bad word.
Scam's a bad word. Okay, bad word. All right, we're gonna change it up when we bring it back. You're listening to KPAY Sports 1290.
This is Happy from Carl's Jr. Listen closely. Do you hear that? That's the sizzling sound of 2 1/3-pound juicy Angus beef patties stacked with 4 strips of bacon on the Monster Angus Thick Burger. You're getting hungry for the bacon. You're driving to the Angus beef. But wait, don't take your eyes off the road for the monster. When I snap my star fingers, you'll pull into the nearest Carl's Jr. and order the new Monster Angus Thick Burger. Feed your happy.
Available for limited time at participating restaurants. Price and participation may vary.
Back here on Chat with a Cat as we're talking with Brian Fogle, the Chico State women's head basketball coach. Chat with a Cat is brought to you every week by Carl's Jr. We've talked about this before, especially off air. Huge baseball fan, Southern California, and you worked on the This Week in Baseball show, the Mel Allen that would narrate it. You worked on it. What were your duties doing that?
So this is before ESPN, where you could actually watch Phillies highlights in California on a Tuesday night, or the Expos back in the day or whatnot. This Week in Baseball was a half-hour show where they would collect the highlights from each different city, from all the different Major League Baseball teams, and they would edit them down, and then they would air it on a Saturday morning with Mel Allen. And so I was fortunate enough to know somebody that they needed somebody to do it from the Dodgers. My job, I started it my junior year in high school. I literally would go to Chavez Ravine, and I had a media pass, and I would go up and I would sit in the press box. I would turn on a VCR machine and hit start, and then I would just, but the tape would run, and when somebody would do something, like when Mike Schmidt would hit a home run from the Phillies, I would write down, I'd look at my clicker, and I would say 397 to 421, Mike Schmidt, home run, second inning, 1-0 Phillies. That's basically what I would do for every highlight that I thought would be interesting, maybe for the show that they were going to use on Saturday. And then I would collect the tapes, drop them in a drop box, and be on my way. I was really fortunate with that because I was around professional athletes, professional people, and on all sides of it, from the media side of it and whatnot. And so it was one of the better jobs I've ever had.
What is this parking job that you had in with your buddy? What was that? What was that all about?
This is one of the greatest things ever. So a buddy of mine, Riviera Country Club is on a very busy street down in Southern California, Sunset Boulevard, and it's on a street called Capri. When you pull off of Capri, you have to make, if you're heading west, you have to go right. And when you do this, the street, there's a huge house there, and then the street shapes like a horseshoe, and you would be at the bottom of the horseshoe, okay? And so you couldn't see past that first house, but then that street would continue up probably about half of a mile. And then in between the horseshoe, there were streets running parallel to it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I got
You're
it.
Following me?
I'm visualizing it.
Me?
Yep, yep.
Okay, you visualize it?
Yep.
Okay, so my buddy got his buddies, and he said everybody has to wear white khakis and a red polo shirt, and he made up a board, and we made a lemonade stand, and we had a bench where you could sit, and we put up $10 parking. Well, what people would do was, because they're not familiar with the area, they would come, and they would get off of Sunset Boulevard, they would stop their car, and they would get out, they would give us the keys, and then they would say, well, where's the lot? And I said, well, the lot's about 2 miles up the road. If you want, we can take it and drop it right here. You just give us your money and you come back and we'll give you this tag. And they would give them a tag, but it was fake. You know, it didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And so basically what the people would get out, they would give us their money. We would jump in the car and drive it around the corner where you couldn't see and just park it on the streets. And we would park it on, like, Oak Street. You would put 223 Oak Street, and you would put the car, the brand of the car. You would jump out, get on your skateboard, and skateboard back down. It was the greatest thing I've ever been a part of. It was so good that the LAPD came by one time and said, asked us what we were doing, and the guy just kind of shook his head and just said, hey, just make sure everybody's cars are safe. Just make sure everybody is not backed up your traffic onto Sunset. And you guys, good for you for figuring this thing out. But my buddy would do that for 4 days, 4 days every year, 5 days, because he would actually do it on Wednesday, the pro-am day, too. And he would make thousands and thousands of dollars, and all we did was park cars on public streets. It was the best.
Incredible. Incredible. Yeah. I love that story.
Yeah, just it was so fun. God, it was fun.
Finding a way to make something happen even where it doesn't seem like there's a way.
Just had to think outside the box.
You had
I don't know if you could do that stuff today.
No, I don't know. I don't know if you could
they
get away with
it. They'd frown on it today.
Yeah, they would probably frown on it. I'm going to take another quick break. When we come back, I was shocked. I mean, I was stunned. It was several years ago. Chico State was playing UC San Diego. And look who's walking right next to our head coach, Brian Fogel, but Steve Kerr. And at the time, Steve, of course, known as an NBA champion and NBA analyst for TNT, and now has been head coach of my beloved Golden State Warriors and our beloved Golden State Warriors for the past several seasons, leading them to 3 NBA titles. So we'll talk with Brian Fogel about his relationship with one of the greats in the NBA, Steve Kerr. We take a quick break. You're listening to Chat with a Cat right here on KPAY Sports 1290.
This is Happy from Carl's Jr. Listen closely. Do you hear that? That's the sizzling sound of 2 1/3-pound juicy Angus beef patties stacked with 4 strips of bacon on the Monster Angus Thick Burger. You're getting hungry for the bacon. You're driving to the Angus beef. But wait, don't take your eyes off the road for the monster. When I snap my star fingers, you'll pull into the nearest Carl's Jr. and order the new Monster Angus Thick Burger. Feed your happy.
Available for limited time at participating restaurants. Price and participation may vary.
We welcome you back to Chat with a Cat here on KPAY Sports 1290. We're talking with Chico State women's basketball coach Brian Fogel in our final segment of the program. We were talking about your relationship with Steve Kerr. You knew him as, you know, you guys are tykes. You guys were youngsters. And that relationship has stayed pretty strong. I mean, I've talked to you numerous times on road trips. You said, "Yeah, I was talking to Steve last night," and I was like, "Weren't they in Milwaukee?" "Yeah, we had talked on the phone. And he's having some issues with the squad." And I mean, it's interesting. I mean, that kind of stuff is fun.
It's really one quick story. I think it was Durant's first year when he came back with the Warriors. I went down, they were playing the Kings, and I went down the night before and hung out with them, and I ate dinner, and we were sitting with the assistant coaches. Bruce Frazier was there, and I think Ron Adams, and anyhow, we were going back and forth, and this was early in the year, and they were just trying to figure out combination and who plays well with whom, and trying to figure out end-of-game situations and what's going to happen, and I'll never forget, they were sitting around, they're trying to figure out, like, well, what are we going to do if we need a basket and with, like, 6 or 7 seconds? Is it going to be Clay? Should we draw it for Clay? Should we draw it for Steph? Should we draw it for you know, Durant, maybe Green. Then they're like, well, hey, you know, enough about us. Hey, what's your deal? You know, what's going on with the Wildcats? And I said, you know, it's really kind of funny. I go through the same things right now. I'm trying to figure out who I'm going to have shoot the ball with 7 seconds left. I don't know if it should be Prang or if it should be Portia or if it should be Townsend, you know, and being three of our players, you know.
Yeah.
So it's basically what I thought was really, really interesting. It doesn't matter the level that you're at as a coach. You still have to make the same decisions. They just make them with the best players in the world, you know. But I thought that was kind of ironic. We laughed about that, and so. But
I'll never forget the story you told me once, though. You're talking with Steve Kerr. He is talking about the Warriors weren't playing well. There was some stuff going wrong, and you're sitting there going, Steve, I wish I could empathize with you, but we haven't scored over 60 in like 2 weeks. So I'm sorry, but I can't really
exactly.
I can't really sympathize with you.
Yeah. No, I bring him back down to earth as much as I can, real fast, and he just laughs about it. And he's, oh yeah, no, you're right. There's worse things that I could be worrying about than this deal. He's been really supportive, like you say. He showed up when he was broadcasting. I think it was with TNT at the time. He came in and he talked to our kids, and I thought that was really funny because the kids identified with him as being an announcer and not a basketball player. And the diehard people knew who he was, but the casual kid on our team just kind of thought. And then there was a couple of kids that had no idea, so... It's good. I'd love to humble him with all that kind of stuff. But he's a great person. Unfortunately, they just lost Clay, and I haven't had a chance to talk to him. But I'm sure they'll figure something out.
Yeah, they do. They're still pretty talented. We've talked every sport: NFL, Major League Baseball, basketball. A lot of those conversations on the road. All of them off air. But you were saying you really enjoyed the broadcasts of the World Series this year. Of course, no fans, a 60 game season. Dodgers win the World Series, but there were some great moments in this postseason.
There were some great moments.
They're great moments.
Takeaways.
Typically,
in a typical year. First of all, I love fall baseball. To me, fall baseball is amazing because in a typical year, they play 162 games and outs are outs and wins are wins and losses are losses. But when it comes down to time to be able to throw a strike or to be able to get somebody to hit the ball on the ground or to be able to get a base hit or, I mean, everything just magnifies. And it is so fun to be able to watch. And those guys are the best of the best in doing what they do. But just to see the concentration and the focus is absolutely amazing. And I feel like this year, in watching, being that I'm a Dodger fan and whatnot, I thought Smoltz did a really good job in his broadcast. And he said something really, really interesting that has resonated with me, is in today's day and how the game has changed. He says back in the day when he was a player, managers looked for ways to be able to keep people in games. Today, they go over every different scenario and will come up with 24 different reasons why to take someone out of a game. And I just thought that was absolutely fascinating. And unfortunately, I think he's right. And that's the way professional sports are moving. You see it into football as well. And he had said this before the manager from Tampa came out and took the pitcher out. I just thought that was absolutely amazing. I don't know. What are your kind of thoughts on that?
I
believe in that? The way they manage and everything's about numbers and all that. I would love to see somebody learn how to bunt and just push the ball on the other side and take your base as opposed to keep trying to hit into all these shifts and everything.
Yeah, it's amazing. One, I think the Dodgers all season long had two sacrifice bunts, and lo and behold, in the World Series, they laid down a sack bunt that led to a run. Austin Barnes did it. And two, as a Dodger fan, we watched it for 6 years, how Dave Roberts stuck to a script that was handed to him by the nerd boys up top, and the decision to pull pitchers or keep pitchers in games was based not on your eyeballs, not on the eye test, but based on a script. And, of course, Roberts is paid to take the bullet, but it was not his decision. And I found it gratifying. And finally, I thought for sure they'd go to Kenley Jansen in closing situations. And they thought, you know, let's leave this left-hander who they can't hit, Urias, in the ball game. Because, you know, my eyeballs are telling me that they can't hit him. And so,
there's a feel. There's just a feel. And as long as humans are playing this game, it's a human game, and you have to go with your gut, and you have to go with your instinct. I mean, I don't know. Let me ask you, you're more of a baseball guy than I am, but speaking in World Series, is that one of the worst managerial moves in the history of the World Series?
It has to be.
By pulling the pitcher?
It has to be. I mean, there was not one person. There's not one person that I, you know, that was a really good decision by Kevin Cash. I still to this day, I mean, if Blake Snell was still pitching right now, the Dodgers 2 months later would still be trying to figure out how to hit him. He was dominating that lineup. So it has to be. It ranks right up there because the tenor of the game changed. I think the air went out of the balloon for Tampa. The Dodgers went, thank goodness. I don't care who you bring in. At least we're not facing that guy. And you can't tell me that they were doing it by numbers because Mookie Betts had the worst OPS against left-handers in baseball this year. And so they bring in a right.
How excited was he?
Oh, he's thrilled.
As soon as they pulled him, you could just see a relief in that, not only on Mookie Betts' face, but the whole dugout. You could just see it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just amazing to me.
I want to get into football really quick as we're wrapping up because Aaron Rodgers is doing great things. And we were off the air again. We were talking about defenses and how they're rendered to second-class citizens in a lot of respects in today's NFL. You had some interesting thoughts on that.
It goes back to the 24 reasons why we're going to take people out of games and just how the game has changed. I think I watched, it might have been the Raiders and the Vikings, or maybe it was the Seahawks. It was the Seahawks and the Vikings. Where all the Vikings had to do was kick a field goal, and it would have given them a 7-point lead, but yet they went for it inside the 5-yard line. They didn't get it, and Seattle came back down and marched the whole length of the field under 2 minutes to score to win. And it's just like, I don't get where and you'll see today where people will run, where they'll run, and they won't score. They'll fall down before they get into the end zone. Like, I just don't understand that way of being able to play. And it just makes me kind of think, because I always believe defense wins championships, offense wins games, but I just kind of feel a shift in the way today's game is being played.
It is a definite shift, and I think that you have offenses like the Chiefs where I think you can slow them down, but I don't know if you can stop them. And I would love to see a machine-like offense face an 85 Bears or a 2000 Ravens to see if those defenses could stop them, because those defenses were two of the best I've seen in my lifetime. But there has been a shift because I think everyone's saying, well, we've got to now throw the ball. We've got to throw it regularly. That's why you look at a team like my Browns, they don't throw the ball a lot. They run it a lot. And that's that's new. It's kind of old school a little bit, back to 70s and 80s.
And then watching quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he is absolutely amazing. Kudos to him for throwing his 400th touchdown pass faster than anybody else. But, you know, he's one of those guys that he plays quarterback, but he doesn't – I mean, he just knows that game so inside and out, and how he can make adjustments on the line. And you watch other quarterbacks that are in this league – and they just struggle in trying to be able to get the team in the right offense and in the right set. And that's another thing. I think sometimes today you see, especially like in college football, but they won't check out. Quarterbacks don't check out of plays, and they just run the play, and the play's set up because they believe they would rather run 80 plays as opposed to checking out and slowing down and running 65 really good plays. And that's just kind of mystifies me a little bit. So.
He's mystified, ladies and gentlemen. Mystified.
Yeah.
Coach, it's been a pleasure. It's been awesome spending some time with you. And I just hope that we can get back on the basketball court soon and go on those, you know, everybody complains about the road. I kind of like the road trips. I think they're fun. I love the – being around the youthful exuberance of the student athlete, and I'm missing it. And when the hammer came down last week, I kind of was like, man, it means I got to go another 11 months. 11 months, really? But hopefully yeah. We're all going to be healthy, happy, ready to go, raring to go in November of 2021.
We're on the backside of it. We got to stay together. We got to stay positive. We're on the backside. We'll come out better.
Yep.
We will.
Mask up, keep your distance, and we'll all be good.
Yep.
All right.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
Hey, Brian, thank you so much, and you have a great one, and thanks for joining us today.
Happy holidays. Take care.
You too.